जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जनवल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवजक आचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवजक आचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की नामाचार्य हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मथुरा धाम की मायापुर धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय भक्ति देवी की जय तुलसी महारानी की जय गंगा मई जमुना मई की जय समवेद भक्त वृंद की जय ऑल ग्लोरिश असेंबल ड्यूटीज हरे कृष्ण ऑल ग्लोरिश असेंबल ड्यूटीज ऑल ग्लोरिश असेंबल ड्यूटीज हरे कृष्ण ऑल ग्लोरिश ऑल ग्लोरिश टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 3 चैप्टर 10 वर्स 16 So verse 16 has no purport. So I'll read the verse and we will Go to the 17th verse together.
Bhuta sargas tritiyastu tanmatro dravya shaktiman chaturtha indriya sargo yastu jnana kriyatmakaha.
The sense perceptions are created in the third creation, and from these the elements are generated. The fourth creation is the creation of knowledge and of working capacity.
Text 16th. Vaikariko Deva Sarga Panchamo Yanmayam Manaha Sashthas Tu Tamasaha Sargo Yastva Abuddhikritaha Prabho. Vaikariko Deva Sarga Panchamo Yanmayam Manaha Sashthastu Tamasaha Sargo Yastva Abuddhikrita Prabho. Vaikariko Deva Sarga Panchamo Yanmayam Manaha Sashthastu Tamasaha Sargo Yastva Abuddhikrita Prabho. Vaikariko Deva Sarga Panchamo Yanmayam Manaha Sashthastu Tamasaha Sargo Yastva Abuddhikrita Prabho. Vaikariko Deva Sarga Panchamo Yanmayam Manaha Sashthastu Tamasaha Sargo Yastva Abuddhikrita Prabho. Vaikariko Deva Sarga Panchamo Yanmayam Manaha Sashthastu Tamasa Sargo Yastva Abuddhikrita Prabho. Vaikariko Deva Sarga Panchamo Yanmayam Manaha Sashthastu Tamasa Sargo Yastva Abuddhikrita Prabho. Vaikariko Deva Sarga Panchamo Yanmayam Manaha Sashthastu Tamasa Sargo Yastva Abuddhikrita Prabho. Vaikariko Deva Sarga Panchamo Yanmayam Manaha Sashthastu Tamasa Sargo Yastva Buddhikrita Prabho.
Matajis.
Vaikariko Deva Sarga Panchamo Yanmayam Manaha Sashthastu Tamasa Sargo Yastva Buddhikrita Prabho.
Vaikarika, interaction of the mode of goodness. Deva, the demigods or controlling deities. Sarga, క్రియేషన్, పంచమా ఫిఫ్త్, యత్ దాట్ విచ్, మయం సమ్ టోటల్, మనః మైండ్, షష్ఠ సిక్స్త్, తు బట్, తమస ఆఫ్ డార్క్నెస్, సర్గ క్రియేషన్, యహ దాట్ విచ్, తు ఎక్స్ప్లిటివ్, అబుద్ధికృత మేడ్ ఫులిష్, ప్రభో ఆఫ్ ది మాస్టర్. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద కీ జై. ద ఫిఫ్త్ క్రియేషన్ ఇస్ దాట్ ఆఫ్ ది కంట్రోలింగ్ డీటీస్ బై ది ఇంటరాక్షన్ ఆఫ్ ది మోడ్ ఆఫ్ గుడ్నెస్ ఆఫ్ విచ్ ద మైండ్ ఇస్ ది సమ్ టోటల్. ద సిక్స్త్ క్రియేషన్ ఇస్ ది ఇగ్నరెంట్ డార్క్నెస్ ఆఫ్ ది లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీ బై విచ్ ది మాస్టర్ యాక్ట్స్ యాజ్ ఎ ఫూల్. ద డెమిగాడ్స్ ఇన్ ది హయ్యర్ ప్లానెట్స్ ఆర్ కాల్డ్ దేవాస్ బికాస్ దే ఆర్ ఆల్ డివోటీస్ ఆఫ్ లార్డ్ విష్ణు. విష్ణు భక్త స్మృతో దైవ అసురస్ తద్ విపర్యయ. ఆల్ ది డివోటీస్ ఆఫ్ లార్డ్ విష్ణు ఆర్ దేవాస్ ఆర్ డెమిగాడ్స్, whereas all others are asuras. That is the division of the devas and the asuras. Devas are situated in the mode of goodness of material nature, whereas the asuras are situated in the modes of passion or ignorance. The demigods or controlling deities are entrusted with departmental management of all the different functions of the material world. For example, one of our sense organs, the eye, is controlled by light. Light is distributed by the sun rays, and their controlling deity is the sun. Similarly, mind is controlled by the moon. All other senses, both for working and for acquiring knowledge, are controlled by the different demigods. The demigods are assistants of the Lord in the management of material affairs. After the creation of the demigods, all entities are covered by the darkness of ignorance. Each and every living being in the material world is conditioned by his mentality of lording it over the resources of material nature. Although a living entity is the master of the material world, he is conditioned by ignorance, by the false impression of being the proprietor of material things. The energy of the Lord, called avidya, is the bewildering factor of the conditioned souls. The material nature is called avidya or ignorance, but to the devotees of the Lord engaged in pure devotional service, this energy becomes vidya or pure knowledge. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. The energy of the Lord transforms from Mahamaya to Yogamaya and appears to pure devotees in her real feature. The material nature therefore appears to function in three phases: as the creative principle of the material world, as ignorance, and as knowledge. As disclosed in the previous verse, the fourth creation, the power of knowledge, is also created. Now the conditioned souls are not originally fools, but by the influence of the avidya function of material nature, they are made fools. And thus, they are unable to utilize knowledge in the proper channel. By the influence of darkness, the conditioned soul forgets his relationship with the Supreme Lord and is overwhelmed by attachment, hatred, pride, ignorance, and false identification, the five kinds of illusion that cause material bondage.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. So, we are continuing our reading from the third canto in this chapter 10, which is titled as the Divisions of Creation. And in this, we see how Maitreya Rishi is explaining to Vidura the questions he asked and the answers. And in this specific two verses that we read today, it is a continuation of what we read yesterday. Suhas Prabhuji mentioned yesterday how Mahavishnu glances over the Mahatattva. So the first of the Mahatattva is created, that's number one. Second creation is the Ahankara or the false ego. And today we read about the third, fourth, fifth and sixth creations. The third creation was the Tanmatras. The fourth creation was the, we said about the deities. And the fifth creation we heard was about the senses. And so the fifth creation was of deities, controlling deities. And the sixth creation was of the ignorance that we read. It's called avidya. Now in this purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about how the devatas or the deities, how they are different from the asuras. So primarily, these two categories, devas and asuras, are kind of defined clearly in the scriptures. And they are kind of distinguished on the fact that the devas are kind of aligned with the will of the Lord. And asuras are against. It's a very simple division. And of course there are details in the Bhagavad Gita. We see in the 16th chapter, it is mentioned as to the divine and demoniac qualities. So that is more detail about how there are 26 divine qualities, starting with, you know, Abhayam, Satvasam, Sudhir and so on. And also in the same chapter, the Lord elaborately describes about the demoniac qualities. So the devas and asuras are primarily classified based on the qualities or the natures that they acquire. And further, Srila Prabhupada explains that the sixth creation was of avidya. And avidya means ignorance or tamas. That was the word used in this Sanskrit verse here. Now, the same nature of the Lord can be perceived as vidya or avidya depending on our disposition. Again, yesterday, Suhas Prabhuji mentioned about free will. So depending on the free will, the same nature of the Lord, the same Maya Shakti of the Lord can be as Mahamaya or Yogamaya. So as Avidya or Vidya, because both are created. Vidya was created in the fourth creation, fourth step, and Avidya in the sixth step. So depending on our inclination, our propensity, our free will, a living entity can experience either Vidya or Avidya. In fact, again in the Bhagavad Gita, it is explained that how in the
the Lord says to Arjuna about that Daivi hi esha gunamai mama maya duratyaya. That my energy is divine, Daivi, but it can be difficult to overcome. Duratyaya, the word duratyaya means difficult to overcome. And in the same Bhagavad Gita, in the 9th chapter, Krishna says to Arjuna that Mahatmanastu mam partha daivim prakriti mashita. So the same Daivi nature is there. It can be duratyaya, difficult to overcome, or it can be ashrita, giving shelter, depending on how we perceive it and what is our free will, how we choose to act, respond to that. So hence we understand that a lot is given on us as to how we choose to respond, how we choose to change our behavior and our mood. And the Vedic scriptures help us navigate from avidya to vidya. The Srimad Bhagavatam specifically actually takes a person and elevates the consciousness from wherever you are in the most avidya stage, to vidya and to the high stage of love of God or prema. In the second canto, Sukadeva Goswami explains how the Bhagavatam actually does that in terms of the 10 topics of the Bhagavatam. Atra sarga visargascha sthanam poshanam utaya manvantara ishanu katha nirodho muktir ashraya. So these 10 topics are given in the Srimad Bhagavatam so that a living being can gradually elevate one's own consciousness. In terms of sarga and visarga, the two topics, it means sarga is creation and visarga is secondary creation. Now, before Sukadeva Goswami talks about the topic of creation, he speaks about the Lord's universal form as to how an individual can actually focus their mind, meditate on the Lord's universal form. Now, the Lord's Virat Roop, as we see, is kind of perceived in this whole world. Now, typically, our mind can focus on only things that we can perceive. We can see this creation, and hence we can try to link how each of the limbs of the universal form is represented by what we see in this world. Like the 14 planetary systems, they are considered to be the Lord's body. Like the lower planets, starting from Patala, Rasatala, Talatala, Mahatala, Sutala, Atala, Vitala, they are all constitute the Lord's lower limbs, starting from the lotus feet, going up to the waist. Then we have the earthly planets, the earth, the Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka. Then we have the higher planets, Maharloka, Tapaloka, Janaloka, Swargaloka, and on Satyaloka. So all these planets are set to the Lord's chest and onwards, up to the head. So we find that anything we can perceive in this world, we can link it to the Virat form. Also says Sukadeva Goswami says that, like you look at the trees, they are like the Lord's bodily hair. The clouds are like the Lord's hair on the head. The sun are like the eyes. Religion is Lord's breast. Irreligion is Lord's back. So anything you can perceive in this world, you can connect it to the Virat Rupa. So that way, somebody who says, I don't have any conception about God, even that person can be brought to a stage of appreciating this nature through God's universal form. So at the starting step also, even if somebody is an atheist, somebody doesn't know anything about God, that person can also be included in the universal form or the Virat Roop of the Lord. Sukadeva Goswami further explains that besides this universal form, one can also go to the next stage of meditation on the Paramatma feature. And then he explains about the creation, the primary creation and secondary creation. Now some probably may wonder why there are two cantos, second canto and third canto, having so much emphasis on the creation. Someone may say that, oh, I want to learn about the Lord's leelas, the Lord's personal leelas. I don't want to spend too much time on the creation. Let me jump to the higher chapters. Srila Chakravarti Pada explains that that people need to be qualified to go to the higher understanding of the leelas, of the Lord's and personal leelas. And he explains that a person who is engrossed in the bed of sense gratification, he or she is not qualified to hear about the Lord's leelas. They should first start with the Lord who is sleeping on the bed of Anantashes. So the point says that if an individual is engrossed in the bed of sense gratification, he should hear about the Lord laying in the bed of Anantashes. So that is kind of the point he makes. And to start with the Anantashes, the Lord lying down and creating this creation. If you examine how we see how the creation actually helps us overcome our base nature of sense gratification. In the creation, we understood how from the Mahat Tattva, in detail, how the various senses, sense objects, the tanamatras are and elements are created. And when a person knows too much about something, then naturally there becomes like a distaste. So Prabhupada says, like a sweet maker does not like his own sweets because he's in a kind of too much overindulge all day. Oh, I don't want any sweets. Similarly, when we hear about the Lord's creation of the senses, there's so much details, then there will be some desire to kind of, avoid sense gratification. It helps, understand that, I know too much about the technology of senses, how they are made. So there will be some kind of proclivity to avoid sense gratification. Secondly, it is also we understand how the Lord, using his energies, is creating the senses, sense objects, and also the desire for a particular, an individual or a living entity to be attracted towards that specific sense object. For example, a human being, senses, have no attraction towards a mosquito. If a man sees a she-mosquito, no attraction. Similarly, but when he sees another human form, then there's attraction. Or a similar mosquito, a she-mosquito, a female mosquito. When he sees a man, he sees, she sees my food. So similarly, the ability to perceive a particular sense object is also given by the Lord. So we see how creation of senses and also the ability that how we find a specific object as sense as attractive is also given by the Lord. So we can understand how the Lord is so merciful that because he wants us to execute our free will and experience enjoyment for the purpose we came here, he actually creates senses and he also gives us that ability to perceive the right sense objects, feel attraction, and hence experience that enjoyment, enjoyment to satisfy our propensity. So when we hear about this in these two cantos of second and third, we kind of start appreciating that how God is merciful, that he has created senses, he has created the senses, the objects, and also my ability to enjoy the senses are also given by him. So we should appreciating that how the Lord is merciful, that he is taking care of my needs, even though they are not of a higher nature. Further, we understand that these thinking about Maya in contact with Krishna is actually help us go away from Maya. Again, in the second canto, Brahmaji is telling Narada, Mayam Varanayato Musya Ishwarasya Anumodata Shrunvataha Shraddhaya Nityam Maya Yatma Namuhyati. That when we hear about Maya along with Ishwara together, then naturally the desire to enjoy Maya also reduces. When we look at Maya independently, then we think, okay, here I see an object, it is for my sense gratification. But when we look at Maya in connection with Krishna, then we know, okay, here is Maya, here is the Lord who is the master, and then we start kind of looking at it in a different perspective, the whole towards the illusion, and hence it helps us kind of get over the
illusion and move from avidya towards the Lord's you know, higher nature. So these are the reasons why Sukadeva Goswami spent so much time explaining about Sarga and Visarga, the primary creation by Mahavishnu, secondary creation by Brahma, in the second and third cantos, so that we understand this sense object, senses, and kind of develop a little distaste from them, for them, and develop an appreciation for the Lord, that how the Lord is giving us facilities to even experience our base nature. So we start appreciating that. After these two topics, the next topic is sthanam. Sarga visarga sthanam. The Bhagavatam says that sthiti vaikuntha vijaya, which means that sthanam means, one understanding of sthanam is understanding how each living entity is situated. So after creation, the Lord is kind of, you know, placing everyone in different places. So in the fifth canto, we have the description of the various planetary systems, the Shishumara planets, the Mount Meru, Jambudvipa, and so on. It is explained in very detail how each living entity, based on their desires and their deserve, they are placed in a specific planet to experience their senses, to enjoy the senses. And also parallelly, Vaikuntha Vijaya means parallelly acknowledge that the Lord is victorious in all circumstances. In the fourth canto, we hear about Prithu Maharaj. How Prithu Maharaj, actually, he was the king of the whole planet Earth. He does sacrifice to please and for his citizens. And he does 99 horse sacrifices. The 100th one, actually Indra comes and steals the horse. So he's kind of baffled in his endeavor of this horse sacrifice. And at that time, Brahmaji comes and says, okay, you've done 99, it's enough, you can please stop. While he's thinking about it, even Lord Vishnu comes and he says, Sudhiya sadhava loke naradeva narottama nabhidrihyanti bhutebhya narhi atma kalevaram. The Lord says that, O Prithu Maharaj, you are a person of advanced intelligence. So you are Sudhiya, means higher intelligence. And you are the best of human beings. So you should not have any malice towards anyone. Nabhidrihyanti bhutebhya. So this is a quality which the Lord actually likes. That wherever we are, in whatever planet we are, whatever stage we are, we should not have malice towards anyone. And that is a sign of advanced intelligence. Sudhiya. So this way we find that Prithu Maharaj does not do the last sacrifice, 100th one. But because he agrees with God, agrees with Lord Vishnu, that is more pleasing than his 99 sacrifices. So the sacrifice that we do of our own ego, our own desires, so that they are aligned with the Lord's desire, that is the highest sacrifice, and that is called as sthanam, sthiti vaikuntha vijaya, where we declare that the Lord is glorious at all points of time, and his will be done. The next topic after sthanam is about poshanam, where the Lord gives protection, even if a jiva falls down or makes mistakes. We hear in the sixth canto on poshanam, where Ajamila, he was born in a great family, Brahmin family, he was very self-controlled, but at some point of time, he comes across a prostitute and a man, and he is kind of enamored by that, and he deviates from the path. But towards the end of his life, when he calls his own son's name as Narayan, the Lord gives protection. So poshanam is the next topic. But the Lord says, even if you fail, since you are on the right path, I will give you protection. And this is the feature which is given in the Bhagavatam to explain that there is nothing to fear. If we are focused on Krishna consciousness, we will be given protection at all times. The next topic is about utayah. Utayah means the desire or the inclination to perform both good and bad activities. The seventh canto is emphasizing that, and in that canto we hear about two personalities in contrast. One is Hiranyakashipu. He is always disturbed. He is a big demon. Sada samudigna dhyam asadgrahat, which means his dhya, his intelligence is always disturbed. Sada samudigna. Whereas the other side, other extreme, we have Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad is very saintly, and he is kind of always under the protection of Krishna. And we see how these two personalities and the results of these two actions, these two, you know, inclinations, how he is given protection and the Hiranyakashipu is destroyed. Now someone may say that I am neither as bad as Hiranyakashipu or not be as good as Prahlad. So for I am in between. So for them, there are four chapters in the seventh canto towards the end about Varnashram Dharma. That wherever you are, you can actually gradually progress by following the Varnashram system. So you can gradually go towards a higher consciousness. The next canto, the eighth canto, talks about Manvantara. That how the Lord's comes in different times of Manu to give protection to his devotees. So we hear about Swayambhuva Manu. Then it comes to Sarochisa Manu, Uttama Manu, Tamasa Manu, Raivata Manu, Chakshusa Manu. And currently, we are in the period of Satyavrata Manu or Vaivarshvata Manu. And this way, we find that in every incarnation, the Lord actually comes and he does this, you know, activities not only once, but repeatedly all the time. The next topic is about Nirodha. Nirodha means, even though we have desires, let us say we are unable to purify ourselves. Oh, Ishanukatha, sorry, thank you. So Ishanukatha is the ninth canto. And in ninth canto, of course Ishanukatha is there throughout the entire Bhagavatam. But Acharyas say that in the ninth canto specifically about Lord Ramchandra and about the whole Vamsavali of the Sun dynasty and the Moon dynasty is explained. So that is considered as an emphasis on Ishanukatha, about the Lord's activities and his pastimes. Then we go to the topic of Nirodha. And in the topic of Nirodha, which means actually annihilation. In annihilation, there are of course four types of annihilation, which is Nitya, means happening every day. As we age, we deteriorate. The next annihilation is, you know, Naimittika, which happens at the end of Brahma's day. Then we have Prakritika, which is the end of Brahma's life. And we have Atyantika, which means we actually annihilate our false ego so that we don't take birth again. But assuming we are not able to do that, then we are actually staying in the womb of Vishnu till the next creation again happens. So the idea is that we should try for mukti and not wait till that annihilation happens. And that the next topic of mukti or liberation, which is given very detailed in the 11th canto. The mukti means actually engaging in devotional service. Muktir hitva anyatha rupam sarupena vyavasthitihi. Mukti means a person doesn't take multiple forms, the jiva, but actually goes to his original form, which is of devotional service. And this topic is given in big detail in the Uddhava Gita, where Krishna elaborates the process of devotional service. And all this is done to bring us to the point of Ashraya, the supreme shelter of Lord Krishna, in the 10th canto. So this way you find that the Srimad Bhagavatam helps an individual soul, starting from the, you know, initial cantos about Sarga and Visarga, to gradually come to the stage of Ashraya by understanding that the Lord gives protection. The Lord is always there in every Manvantara to give us kind of, you know, his pastimes and inspire us. And that he is there, that even if you cannot completely fulfill your desires, you can actually go to the highest stage of mukti or liberation by engaging in devotional service. And that will bring us to the highest point of shelter, where the Lord is conquered by the devotee's love. So this way, we can take benefit of the Srimad Bhagavatam and inspire ourselves and everybody around us to actually move from avidya to vidya. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Maharaj.
very nice class.
Thank you, Maharaj.
There was one pastime that you mentioned, which you went over rather quickly because you wanted to get in all those wonderful pastimes. But that that pastime is the one of Ajamil. So Ajamil, as you mentioned, he was like a priest. He was a Brahmin at one time. But he had a fall down. He was walking through the forest getting vegetables and fruits for his family, and then he saw these two persons, male and a female, engaged in fallen activities. So he couldn't get it out of his mind. These are the points that we have to remember. He could not get out of his mind those two and what they were doing. And it came to the point where he wanted to actually have that prostitute who he was watching, he wanted her as his wife or his associate. And he couldn't get that out of his mind. This is the important point. The more he tried to get her out of his mind, the more she came into his mind. So what happened is eventually he associated with her, and she became like a wife to him. Okay, even though he had another wife, but he wanted her. There was something very sleazy about her which appealed to him. That happens. Even though he was a Brahmin, nonetheless, sorry about my throat, nonetheless, the very fact that there was something there that was attractive. So what happened was that he married her. Now Krishna, this is the important point for all of us. Krishna says that no matter how far down, how low you fall, if you have done devotional service at some time in your life, I will never forget that, and I will do my very best to rescue you from your fallen position. And if you surrender, you will get rescued and you will become self-realized. So this is very interesting because it pertains to all of us. We're all in the Western world. We all have had fallen situations, and sometimes it's very difficult to get out of them. So what happened was that, if I can remember it. So what happened was that the Lord arranged that Ajamil would name his last son Narayan. Narayan is the name of God, as you know. And it would be actually a rescue for him, although he didn't think of it as that. So he had with this prostitute 8 children. And on the 8th child, he named that child Narayan. So when it was time for Ajamil to die, the Yamadutas, the servants, not of Lord Vishnu, but the servants of Lord Yamaraj, the Lord of Death, was to come and take him to hell. That was the process. That was what was going to happen. So what happened is when it was time for him to die and be dragged. He was dragged towards the hell. He was scared. He was anxious. He was so uncertain. And he started shouting. And one thing, and we all can identify with this, is that he very much loved his last little child. Any of us who have children or who have children in the family, little one, you cannot help but want to cry out for rescue. So what happened was that he did not call for his son. His name was Narayan. That was an arrangement that Krishna had made. That was the rescue, that he would have a son named Narayan. And when it was time for the Yamadutas, the servants of death, to drag him to hell, he had this sentimental feeling for his little son. And all he wanted is to see, and touch, look at his son. And he shouted, Narayan! Narayan! He wanted to die looking at Now by calling out the name Narayan, not once but several times, all his impurities became purified. And what happened was that the Vishnu Dutas, as a result of saying, Narayan, Narayan, out of seemingly nowhere, I think it was four great, beautiful devotees from the spiritual world appeared there, and they said, "Halt to the Yamadutas. You can't take him." I said, "What do you mean I can't take him? It's our duty to take him to hell." They said, "No, no, he has uttered the name Narayan. Narayan purified him. All his sins were washed away." Then you must say, "Wait, our master never told us this." They said, "Well, I'm telling you this, and you cannot take him." So they had to go. So Ajamil was so amazed, so astounded, that here he was being saved. He was on the way to hell, but he was being saved as a result of the holy name Narayan. Therefore, as a result of that, he then went to Rishikesh of Simplify. He went to Rishikesh. He chanted the holy name there in North India. And as he continued to do that, and the ultimate result was that although he had been a very horrible, lowly sinner, he now had become very greatly saintly. And ultimately, he went back home, back to Godhead, as a result of that grace that the Lord had given him to name his son Narayan, so that at the time of death, he would call out of sentiment, "Narayan, Narayan," and it would purify him, and he would go back home, back to Godhead. So that's how wonderful this process is. We should all be very thankful and grateful that we have it, and we should not underestimate the value of the name, any of God's names, and especially these which we are learning, Narayan, Om Namo Narayana, so forth. Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. I had a question. I was understanding Krishna, he doesn't see the difference between material and spiritual energy. Krishna doesn't see the difference between when he comes in the material world, he doesn't kind of experience the ignorance. Can you explain a little bit about this kind of feature of Krishna? For him, it's kind of the same, but for us, it's different.
Right, right. So, Krishna is the master of material nature. He says that Maya Dakshena Prakriti, so which means the Prakriti is nature that is under my direction, Maya Dakshena. So, since he is the master, he can never be under the influence because he is above matter. Whereas we are marginal living entities. Marginal means we can be either on the boundary. We can be either deciding to go to the higher nature or lower nature, para or apara prakriti. So we being kind of vulnerable, we have to be careful in accessing our free will. So God is, since above the energy, he can actually control it. He is not under the influence, even though he comes in this world. Whereas living entities, we being marginal, which means we are vulnerable. So hence we have to be careful that we choose the right direction, the right energy. Make sense?
Yeah, thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
I actually have two questions. One question is, when you're talking about the Virat Rupa, and then it gives a description how the trees are like his hairs, clouds are like the hair on his head, and then trees are like the hair on his body, right?
Yeah.
But then you're also explaining how the 14 planetary systems are considered different parts of the Virat Rupa.
Yeah.
So when we hear about the trees and the clouds, that's pertaining to this earth. So that doesn't sound like the Virat Rupa. It sounds like an earth Rupa or something like that. So how do you understand that?
So actually, it is twofold. So first of all, it has a higher view of the entire universe. So hence we look at the all planetary systems. So that is one way of looking at it. And now you zoom on one planet and see in one planet also what you see within the earth. And then you can perceive that. So if you see, there are like two different ways of perceiving the Virat Rupa. One way is looking at the entire universe. And the second is within this earth, the creation.
Because if you see personally, we have probably seen trees and clouds. We haven't seen other planets. So for a common human being to be able to perceive God, that what I can see mountains, rivers. The rivers are his veins. And mountains are, I think, his probably shoulders. So basically, everything you see in material nature is also corresponding to his universal form. That is one view of the form. And higher view is of the whole universe. So like two different visions. One vision is the universe. Second vision of just the one planet. So that we can connect with that planet what we see in our day-to-day life. Make sense? Okay.
I have one more question. You were saying how even an atheist can appreciate the universe. So that's one way that a non-believer can gradually understand God. So I was wondering, when you said that, what should we do if we encounter, like, for say, on book distribution or some preaching program, outreach program, we meet someone who says, I don't believe in God, I'm an atheist. Of course, we know, okay, we're not supposed to preach to the envious, it's better to avoid them. But can we, in some circumstances, if someone says, I'm an atheist, I don't believe in God, tell them, what people mean by God is actually the universe. It's this. Right. This is God, what you're seeing here is actually God. And in some sense, that's not the full truth, but it is true. It's to like help them understand. Maybe they'll be like, oh, okay, maybe I'm not an atheist. Maybe the universe is God. So they made like a step up. Is that proper to do, or how should we go about doing that?
That's the right approach. Because people may have a hard time understanding the personal form of the Lord. So for them, it's like a far out cry. Oh, how can I think God is a person? So starting step, at least, you see the nature and appreciate this nature as limbs of the Lord. So I think that's a perfect approach. That should help definitely. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.